All right, I'm going to call the Ledge Council meeting to order. The date today is February 9th, 2017. Time is 7:01 a.m. And we have a fairly abbreviated agenda. We're going to try and get through it pretty quick. I know everyone's busy. I do apologize for the early hour. I'm going to go ahead and have the have Sante call the roll, please.
Representative Klayman?
Here.
Representative Edmund?
Here.
Representative Guttenberg? Representative Millett?
Here.
Representative Ortiz?
Here.
Representative Stutes?
Here.
Representative Drummond? Representative Eastman?
Here.
Senator Hoffman? Senator Kelly?
Here.
Senator McKinnon?
Here.
Senator Meyer?
Here.
Senator Machicki?
Here.
Senator Stevens?
Here.
Senator Diesel? Vice Chair Stedman?
Here.
Chair Tito?
Here. Okay, thank you. So first item is to approve the agenda. Items we have on the agenda, and I'll go ahead and read through them. We've got ratification of two charitable events. We've got a contract approval. We have review of the legislature's audit, and then we also have the presentation of the Legislative Council's proposed budget. And we will be considering an executive session when we get to the Council's proposed budget for a single item. Actually, I believe we've got two small items to discuss in executive session. We'll go over those when we get to that point. So, Senator Stedman, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I move the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
Any objections to the agenda as presented? No objections. The agenda is approved. So we've got two charitable events on our calendar today. One is Catholic Community Services Formal Gala. The other is 17th Annual Thanksgiving in March. Both of those have been submitted. One of the things we did, and I think I mentioned during our last meeting, is change the charitable events to a single sheet for review. Makes it easier for us to be able to look at the information. I will also I would like to notice that Representative Guttenberg has joined us and Senator Hoffman has joined us. So, Senator Stedman, can I entertain a motion on the charitable events?
I move that Legislative Council ratify the chair sanctioning of the following charitable events per AS 2460-080-A2B, Catholic Community Services Forum of Gala, 17th Annual Thanksgiving in March.
Okay. Any objections to moving the charitable events? Seeing no objections, both charitable events have been ratified. And next item on the agenda is the approval of Ketchikan lease space. You'll find that item in your packets. And if I could ask, I'd like to ask Director Varney to come up and give us a little bit of information about that lease extension, or unless... Ms. Strong? Okay.
Good morning. Through the chair, my name is, for the record, my name is Tina Strong, the Procurement Officer for Legislative Affairs Agency. And as your memo states, the original lease between the Legislative Affairs Agency and Ketchikan Gateway Borough for the Ketchikan office space was for 5 years, beginning March 1st, 2012, and will terminate February 28th, 2017. There are five renewals of lease available under this lease agreement, each for a one-year period. Senator Stedman, Representative Ortiz, and the LIO would like to proceed with renewal number one for the period March 1st, 2017 through February 28th, 2018. If Legislative Council approves renewal number one today, this will leave four more renewals of lease available before we have to go out to bid or do a lease extension. And this lease exceeds $35,000 in one fiscal year, therefore your approval is required.
Thank you.
And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Strong? Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if the question was for Ms. Strong or for someone else, but can you tell me what legislators are housed in the LIO?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, that is Senator Stedman and Representative Ortiz are both located at the Ketchikan LIO.
Okay, just second question, Mr. Chairman. The other office space, I have a staffer that is going to need a little tiny space for part of the year. Were they going to share, Mr. Eklund, were they going to share a space in the LIO? Is that my understanding?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, yes, we are working with Shannon, the LIO information officer, to come up with a space for Mr. Eklund.
And with that, Mr. Chairman, is the other office space that was leased will no longer be leased in Ketchikan, is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki, correct. We terminated that lease.
Thank you.
Senator Michicki. Any other questions for Ms. Strong? With that, Senator Stedman, I'd entertain a motion on the office lease extension.
I move the Legislative Council approve renewal number one of the lease extension of Ketchikan Gateway Borough in the amount of $47,412.72.
Any objection to the motion as stated? Seeing no objection, the Ketchikan lease space extension is approved. Next item on the agenda is the FY16 Legislature's audit. This item is not being presented for action. This is for information purposes, and Ms. Varney is going to provide us information about the audit. This audit was prepared by LG Rehfeld Mertz and covers the legislative components. So, Ms. Varney?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. For the record, my name is Pam Varney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. Per statute, the legislature has an independent audit of all their expenditures annually. In 2014, the agency did an RFP, and we contracted with LG Rehfeld and Mertz, LLC. It was a one-year contract in the amount of $18,300 per year, and we had 2 one-year renewals. So they have audited us for FY14, 15, and 16. This is a clean audit. It's an unqualified opinion, and the members of Legislative Budget and Audit and Legislative Council are provided copies. There's a letter to the members, a management letter, and then there's also the schedule of appropriations, expenditures, and encumbrances, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of Ms. Varney regarding the legislature audit or the letter of Senator McKinnon?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a question, it's a statement.
Yes, Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just ask committee members to review page 7, 8, and 9. The auditor talks about the new reporting requirements for pension systems, so I just point that out as a highlight to focus a little bit of attention on. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I just would like to let the council members know that this interim, the agency will issue an RFP and award a contract for our FY17 legislative audit.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. And I guess I have a question also. Is that exceeded or come up to the end of the number of renewals we can have for our current auditor and have to do an RFP, or is the RFP a standard practice?
Mr. Chair, we have come up to the end of our contract and renewals with LG Rehfeld and Mertz, and we always do an RFP. So we will go out to bid. There were two proposals last time, LG Rehfeld and then another Juno, Altman Rogers, for $21,000. So we will be going out to bid again.
Okay, thank you. Next item, and if Ms. Varney, if you can stay at the table, I think the next item is the budget, and we'll go ahead and go through that. Next item is the FY18 Legislative Council proposed budget.
Thank you, Mr.
And Senator Stedman, if we can have a motion to place the budget before us.
Chairman, I move that we put the FY Legislative Council proposed budget on the table.
Thank you, Senator Stebbins, and I'll object for purposes of discussion. Ms. Varney, can you please present the FY18 Legislative Council and Legislature budget to the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the legislature's budget structure, there are 17 separate budget components and 5 RDUs. The Legislative Council budget has 14 of the 17 budget components and 4 RDUs. 3 components are not in the attached detailed budget. Legislative audit, legislative finance, LBNA committee expenses are submitted directly to the finance committees. The FY18 Legislative Council request is an overall increase of $198,200 from our FY18 governor's figures. I'd like to kind of go through the components for you to give you some idea of just what the components pay for. The first component is legislator salaries and allowances. It pays for legislator salaries, their relocation, travel, per diem, and moving expenses to and from session, 90 days of session per diem, and the legislator's annual office allowance. There is no change in this component from the governor's figures to our request. The next component is administrative services. This component pays for the operation of the Division of Administrative Services. It's the main support division for the legislature, along with the Division of Legal and Research Services and Information and Teleconference. The sections in this component are the Executive Director's Office, Accounting, Information Technology, Maintenance, Personnel, Print Shop, and Supply. For FY18 and personal services, there is a decrease from our governor's figures of $91,000. We are deleting a fourth floor copier position for the print shop and reducing an administrative assistant position in the executive director's office from full-time to seasonal. With the purchase of 1500 West Benson Boulevard, there will be $514,000 in revenue and in FY18, there will be $531,500. This revenue will pay for our operating costs, which are budgeted in administrative services for all of our legislative-owned buildings. The total for this component is a decrease of $91,000. The Council and Subcommittees is the next component. It pays for the operation of the Legislative Council Committee, the Joint Armed Services Committee, and task forces or special committees established by statute or resolution. In FY17 and our request of FY18, there is a funding for the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic and the House Special Committee on Arctic Policy, Economic Development, and Tourism. In the Council Chair... I am going through the overview that was attached to the budget. Okay.
Thank you, Senator Stevens.
While we're going through this, would you entertain questions?
Certainly.
Just wanted to have you explain to us in a little more detail why we have a surplus in the 1500 West Benson Boulevard building.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, we have a lease with Wells Fargo, and they are renting the third floor space of the building for 18 months, and we have a 10-year lease with Wells Fargo for the branch space on the ground floor. And so that is the amount that we will be having as revenue for FY17 and 18.
Thank you. I just want to make sure we had that on the record.
Senator Stevens. Continue, Ms. Varney.
Okay, thank you. So in the Legislative Council chair section of this budget, there is a decrease to a position is being deleted, a legislative secretary, and a temporary position in the legislative chair account. The professional assistant position was also reduced from a range 24 to a range 22. And the chair has also asked for a reduction of $10,000 in services and a reduction in commodities of $15,500. And that is a total reduction of $221,200 to the Legislative Council chair account. So I'm looking at all the different entities. The totals in this component, our council chair will have $672,000. Joint Armed Services, $10,000, Senate Special Committee on the Arctic, $27.8, and House Special Committee, Arctic Policy, Economic Development, Tourism, $27.9, and actually those will be split evenly. So the decrease for this component is a total of $221,200.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Easton.
Could we return to Administrative Services for a moment?
Yes, Representative Easton.
I would be curious to know, do we have numbers for what's being requested for membership in NCSL?
Yes, we do. Through the chair, Representative Eastman, what is in our budget is the same amount that was authorized by the legislature for FY17, and that is a total of $107,000. And what the NCSL organization would like for FY18 is $123,900, which would be an increase of $16,900. We are not fully funding our dues. What is in there is a total right now of $224,300. And if we were to fully fund our dues and put back in the Energy Council, we would need an increase of
$97,900. Thank you.
Okay. All right. The next component is legal and research services. This component pays for the operation of the Division of Legal and Research Services, including bill drafting, legal services, legislative library, and research services. There is no change in this component from the governor's figures to our request. The next component is the Select Committee on Ethics. This component pays for the operation of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, and there is no change from the governor's figures to our request. The next
I'd just like to notice that Representative Drummond has joined us.
Thank you. All right. The next component is the Office of Victims' Rights. This pays for the operation of the Office of Victims' Rights, OVR. OVR provides free legal services to victims of crime to help them obtain the rights they are guaranteed under the Alaska Constitution and statutes with regard to their contacts with police, prosecutors, judges, and other criminal justice agencies in this state. And there is no change from the governor's figures to our request.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. Representative Klayman, you have a question?
Yes, through the chair, Ms. Varney, in the last 2 years, has there been any reduction in positions in the Office of Victims' Rights?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, no, there have been no changes.
And when was the last time, going back not just the last 2 years, but in the last 10 years, has there been any reduction in that office over that 10-year period, if you know?
Through the chair, I'm not aware of any reductions in positions.
Thank you.
Okay. Continue, Ms. Varney.
Okay. So there is no change to that component. The next component is the Office of the Ombudsman. This component pays for the operation of the Office of the Ombudsman. The Ombudsman investigates citizens' complaints against state executive and court branch agencies, including boards and commissions, corporations, and the university system. By doing so, the Ombudsman serves as a resource for the Alaska Legislature in its oversight of state government. The current Ombudsman's term is up at the end of FY17. The Ombudsman is requesting funding for a new case management system to track complaints, inquiries, investigations, findings, determinations, and produce reports. And that increase is a total of $500,000.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. And while we were at that point, there was an error in the way that I had asked for that item to be recognized in the budget. But I do think it's important that we've got it identified. We will clarify that when we get to the end of our meeting. But while we have the state ombudsman online, I'd like to have her provide some comments about what the new case management system will do, what the project will do. So, Ms. Lord-Jenkins, are you available? Can you place your name on the record and provide us with some information about the case management system?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Linda Lord Jenkins, and I'm the State of Alaska Ombudsman. I've been a State Ombudsman since 2002. We are making a request for a caseload management system for money to fund the system. Since 1999, we have used a caseload management system that was developed specifically for ombudsman offices by a consortium of four ombudsman offices across the country. It was Iowa, Alaska, Hawaii, and King County, Washington. We contributed money for the development and of that system. And at this time, we own the source code for the system. This system allows our office to maintain a database on all of the contacts and complaints that are filed with our agency. We can sort those and search those contacts and that information by name, by agency, by office. Agency employee, if that information has been entered in by my staff. It allows us also to keep all of our notes on the database, and it links to the ombudsman server that's maintained by information technology for us. It is a system that we have used very successfully, and were it up to me, we would continue using it. But the searchable query data language program, which allows us to search for anything in the program, was no longer updated. Programmers no longer updated that in 2014, and they will no longer support it's called the SQL program. They will no longer support this in 2019. We just learned this not too long ago, and I have been talking with our LAA IT folks, specifically Tim Bansack and Shay Wilson, who is maintaining the system for us. And the concern is that if anything goes wrong, as Shay Wilson put it, he might not be able to fix the program, and we would be, in essence, dead in the water. We are not looking for a complex program that has a ton of bells and whistles. The most major change that I would seek would be an expanded reporting function. We can develop some reports from the program, but it requires a great deal of individual data searching. So at this time, as I understand this, talking with Tim and Shay, there are four options, really, on resolving our problem. The first and cheapest option would be to upgrade the program with off-the-shelf software that would be compatible with the program and then would allow us to continue our searching functions. The advantage to that would, at least I'm assuming this, it would be cheaper, and we would own everything, like we own the CMS source code now. The second option would be to develop our own program or throw in with another jurisdiction like we did in the late 90s. That advantage would be that we would own the program, but our IT people would have to support it. Third option is purchasing an off-the-shelf case management system. We are aware that a lot of those programs have been developed by Australian ombudsman offices, and right now the Hawaii ombudsman runs an off-the-shelf case management program that was developed by the Resolve company out of New South Wales. The question would be if it would be our ombudsman, Alaska ombudsman program compatible. Would it be able to import our own historic data? The cost would probably be less than developing our own. One of my concerns would be about data storage. Would it be stored on-site? Some of these programs use the cloud for storage, and quite frankly, I don't view that as an acceptable option, because all of our data information by law is confidential, and we do obtain medical information that is confidential on many levels. So those are the options right now. As I've talked to Tim, he estimated that the cost could be between $50,000 and $500,000. I certainly don't think it would be anywhere near the high end on that program, but that's just what we're starting to look at now. I will be very frank and say I don't know what I don't know, and so I do appreciate the assistance of IT on this, but that's where we are right now.
Thank you, Ms. Lord-Jenkins. And do we have any questions for Ms. Lord-Jenkins about the case management system? Seeing no questions, thank you, Ms. Lord-Jenkins, for answering the question in your testimony.
Thank you.
Ms. Varney, can you continue?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next component is legislature state facilities rent. This component pays for lease space rental by the legislature statewide. We have 22 legislative information office sites outside of Juneau. Many of these sites also have interim office space for legislators' interim offices. There are two sites for legislators' interim offices which are not commingled with an LIO, and that is North Pole and Eagle River. There is a 58.9 decrease in this component from the governor's figures to our FY18 request. The Wrangell and Ketchikan office space for legislator or legislative staff space was eliminated for our FY18 request. We do have Wrangell and Ketchikan LIO and legislator space still in our FY18 request. We also did not receive an anticipated large increase to our Barrow LIO space, and that makes up the other difference between eliminating Wrangell and that Ketchikan space.
Barney, that was 58.9 thousand, correct?
That is correct, 58.9, Mr. Chairman. And so we still need full funding of this 1594.2 to restore base level funding for all of our lease obligations. And so that total is minus 58.9 from the governor's figures. The next component is legislature state facilities rent other than Anchorage 716 West 4th Avenue. And we have three state facilities rent components, and we are eliminating two of them. This is one of them. This component in FY17 paid for our lease space statewide with the exception of our Anchorage 716 West 4th Avenue lease space, and we are not requesting funding named like this in FY18. So there is no change, and we're eliminating this component in FY18. The next component is information and teleconference. This component pays for the operation of the information and teleconference section. There are 23 legislative information offices facilitating communication between the legislature and the public through teleconferencing services, publications, and maintaining online access. In FY17, 16 positions were reduced from full-time to seasonal. That was a reduction of $250,000, and we presently do not have any full-time LIO staff statewide. There is no change to this component from the governor's figures to our request.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Guttenberg.
Question, I'm sorry if somebody else had their hand up. Question on that. The last comment in that paragraph in FY16, four full-time positions were reduced. Positions were... 16 positions went from full-time to seasonal. We presently do not have any full-time LIO staff statewide. I need a little clarification on that. You have, I believe you have some year-round positions in Anchorage. We have one in Fairbanks. So when you say you don't have, we don't have any full-time positions staff statewide, what does that mean?
Okay. Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, in FY16, the Barrow, Kotzebue information officers were changed from full-time, 12 months, to 6 months. Also, the Fairbanks and Matsu information assistants were changed from 12 months to 6 months. In FY17, because of the budget reduction, Legislative Council had different options to look at how they were going to come up with that reduction, and our information officers, 16 throughout the state, now do not work on Friday afternoons, and our LIOs are closed during the interim. They are working Friday afternoons during session. So that made them permanent part-time, and so they are at 11.3 months. So we do not have in Anchorage and Fairbanks and all of our other LIOs, they are not year-round employees.
Thank you. So it's basically a term of art. We do have full-time year-round positions, but just don't quite meet that definition of full-time year-round.
They took a reduction in pay, and they are 11.3 months.
Representative Guttenberg, thank you. And Ms. Varney, I guess clarification, they are, those staff persons in Fairbanks and Anchorage are working 12 months out of the year. They're just taking Friday afternoons off, so they are year-round, correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, but our LIOs are closed on Friday afternoon, so I know that has created some problems for members trying to have a teleconference during that time, but that was the decision of Legislative Council to close on Friday afternoons.
Thank you, Ms. Varney. Representative Ortiz?
And that's not just in Fairbanks and the other location, but it's all statewide. There are people that are taking the Friday afternoons. They've been furloughed Friday afternoons, but they are working year-round, correct?
Through the chair, that is correct, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you. Continue, Ms. Varney.
Okay. All right. So there is no change from the governor's figures to our request. The next component is the legislative operating budget. This component pays for the interim staff of most of the House and Senate personal staff, which includes majority and minority staff. Committee expenses during the interim, such as travel for legislators and staff, supplies, phones, contracts, equipment, minority expenses, etc. Funds are discretionary to the Senate President and the Speaker of the House. There is a 72.8 technical correction to this component, transferring a reduction for five-day furlough from House and Senate finance components to the House and Senate operating budgets. And so this component shows that increase of 72.8, making that technical correction. The next component is session expenses. This component pays for the operation of the 90-day session. There are 224 positions for the House and Senate. The majority of the personal staff working for legislators is coded to session expenses during the regular session. The rules chairs control these funds with the exception of travel, which is approved by the presiding officers and security personnel hired by the agency. In FY17, all special session funding was appropriated in a separate component instead of contained in the session expenses component. The only change to this component is we are decreasing our revenue, $1,500 for Alaska statute interagency receipts and $2,000 reduction for legislative subscription program receipts. And so the total for this component is a decrease of 3.5. The next component is special session contingency. This component pays for special session expenses and needed contingency funds. There is no change from the governor's figures to our request. And the last component is legislature state facilities rent, Anchorage 716 West 4th Avenue. This component in FY17 paid for our lease space in Anchorage at 716 West 4th Avenue for 3 months. We are not requesting funding named like this in FY18, and we are eliminating this component, and the grand total of changes to all the components is $198,200, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Barney? Seeing no questions, we do have a couple of items that we will be discussing in executive session. Senator Stedman.
I move that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B23, discussion of subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of a person. Of a matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. Any legislators not on council are welcome to stay, and the following staff will be invited back into the room to answer questions if there are any in a few minutes. Barney Gardner and Lombo.
And I think we are also going
brief
to...
Brief of these?
Yes, brief of these. You're back on the record.
Yes.
Senator Stebbins?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I'd like to just clarify that in case I slurred the words. It's just legislators. And then we will possibly invite back in if need be, Pam Varney, Doug Gardner, and Skiff Lombaugh.
And for clarification, legislative staff of council members are also staying. So at this point, we will. Senator Hoffman.
Just one comment before we go into executive session. Yesterday, we heard from Chief Justice Doe that set, I think, a standard whereby he is suggesting that that department receive a 3.5% reduction. And when I'm looking at the legislative operating budget, we're looking at a recommended increase. I think we should give very serious consideration for us as the leading body to take a strong look at our our operations and our budget, because I believe it does not set a good example. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. And at this point, we will stand at ease until we come back into executive session. I'm reconvening Ledge Council from executive session, and we had a very active discussion, ran fairly long, so I apologize for the delay. But what we did determine, and I'll allow others to speak if I don't completely characterize it correctly, is that there is actually still a fair amount of work to be done on the legislature's budget, and rather than stepwise working on the budget, we've got a commitment to...
Recording is on. To pause recording, press star 9 again.
Can I start over? So our plan at this point is to have discussions with the Finance Committee chairs, the Senate President, Speaker, and try and figure out how we from Ledge Council can move a budget into the subcommittee process that has a little bit more deliberation to it. So we are going to hold the budget at this point and then as rapidly as possible go through some further analysis before we move it on to the subcommittees. Now, is that a fair characterization, Representative Guttenberg?
Yes, that's a fair characterization. I just wanted to make sure you didn't forget that other item.
Correct. So we do have one other item, and I think that would be a recommendation. So, Senator Stedman, if you wanted to on the capital... Yes. So I've got an amendment or a motion from Senator Stedman.
Yeah, I'd like to offer an amendment to remove the funding associated with the Ombudsman's case management system.
So is there any objection to removing the $500,000 case management system from the operating budget of Ledge Council? And I'll explain the reason for doing that is to identify other sources of funding for that case management system, which is a capital item and doesn't belong in the operating budget. So it will be done. It just doesn't need to be in this budget. So without objection, we'll go ahead and include that as a recommendation as we work forward. And we will continue to work on the budget and bring it back as quickly as possible to move it through the subcommittee process. So at this point, Ledge Council at 8:39 is adjourned.